Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Marcellus Wiley here. With Emmanuel, I had to get loose for this show, man, because it's going to get intense, man. We got some topics. I'm ready.
Well, then I'm buttoned if you're going to get loose.
Why no, no, no. See, a little business but casual. Business but casual.
Oh, okay. Seems like the show got started early or something. You ain't finished getting dressed, but let's get it started, y'all. In Tampa Bay, this dude getting comfortable up here, where the Bucs stacked offense just got bigger. Tampa Bay signed Leonard Fournette to a one-year deal after he was released earlier this week by my Jaguars. Fournette rushed for over 1,000 yards last season, but Bruce Arians says Ronald Jones will still be the starter. Tampa Bay's offense can arguably match the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs, who open the NFL season next Thursday against the Texans. Take a look at both rosters. They're both led by elite quarterbacks and Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeesh.
The Bucs also added Rob Gronkowski to their lineup, while Kansas City will rely on former LSU running back Clyde Edwards-Hilaire. You got to lose one of them names. In the backfield. So, Acho, who has the more lethal offense, Brady's Bucs or Mahomes' Chiefs?
Marcellus, I'm going to take you somewhere before we land, sir.
Okay.
If this is tough.
This is tough?
I'm going to lead with the headline, and I'm going to say the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to lead with the headline. It's the Chiefs.
Is that your choice?
That's the choice. It's the only correct answer. But here's why. Marcellus, if you were having a, if you're driving a car, right, the most efficient way the car can be driven is through three attributes. You have to consider three things if talking about efficiency.
Tesla, electric.
No, sir.
Oh, okay.
Who is the driver?
Real.
How capable is the car and the manual? Right? How descriptive is the manual? Who's the driver? How capable is the car? And is how descriptive is the manual,
you read
right?
You your manual before in your car?
You better. Because I'm going to tell you, the mistake I made is I didn't. Yeah. I'm a car guy, okay? I got two cars right now. I got me a Bentley and I got me a Range Rover.
Convertible,
okay?
Bentley.
Chill out. We ain't got to tell the world. But the problem was, see, I didn't read the manual to the Bentley, so I didn't realize, The back has massages in it. You see, I'm sitting here, right? Got a little massage in it. See, when I talk about the car, the Buccaneers, they may have the better car. They have the better weapons. You got Godwin, you got Evans, you got Gronk, you got Brady. You about to see where I'm going now. You got Fournette, you got Ronald Jones. You see where I'm going. They have the better car. See, but the Chiefs, they win with the other two things because they have the better driver in Patrick Mahomes and they have the better manual in Andy Reid calling the shots. They have the better manual in the better playbook, and how well can Patrick Mahomes, the driver, how well can he orchestrate and facilitate the car based on his digestion of the manual? And so while the Chiefs, the Bucs, I can concede, okay? I'll concede to that. I'm going to beat you with your own game, beat you with your own
Here
argument.
Here we go again.
And I'm going to concede to the fact that the Bucs have the better offensive roster. But the Chiefs have the better best player, and the Chiefs have the better manual in Andy Reid. And therefore, the Chiefs have the better offense.
Okay, so we're going to take it from better roster in terms of talent and go more lethal offense because you're saying, how are you going to execute with that talent?
That's where I'm going.
Okay, and you got me lost in driving with you and riding with you because you got to the wrong destination.
I was between the yellow line, Marcellus. I was between the line.
Tell that to the officer, okay? I don't know where you went, but you went off course. Here's the one thing. I think it's a little premature to say that Patrick Mahomes is a better driver than Tom Brady. I know you don't want to go career accomplishments.
We can't. It's irrelevant.
So now you want to go, well, right now in this moment.
Absolutely.
And then it makes me say, well, last time they faced each other in a high-pressure situation, high leverage moment was the playoffs a couple years ago, and I wonder who advanced out of that.
The year Mahomes was MVP? You're referencing that year?
Yeah, the year he was MVP.
He was NFL MVP.
Didn't go to the Super Bowl.
Because somebody jumped offside.
Oh, you're talking about that year? Fantasyland again. I know that's where you drove me to Fantasyland again. Not your favorite place, Fantasyland,
well,
where ifs are fifths. Let me tell you this. I think it's a little premature, even though, look, if I'm building a roster going forward, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, those are the two quarterbacks I'm looking at, not Tom Brady. But we can't sneeze at the weapons, and not just the weapons, but how they can execute. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how they're going to be able to move the chains. Leonard Fournette was fifth in moving the chains and first downs on a sorry team. When everybody's like, we're going after you, Fournette, to stop you, he still went out there over 1,000 yards and actually caught, 70 balls out the backfield? Like, Leonard Fournette got hands with his big old thick boulders. People don't see that coming. Here's another thing. The best duo on the outside. Most lazy fans wouldn't think that Tampa Bay has the best duo when you think of the Chiefs' weapons. Mm-hmm. When you look at the Chiefs, you're like, look, they got three guys going out there, Hill, Watkins, and Hartman.
Yep.
You would think that those three guys would combine to have more production than the two in Tampa. Not the case.
Not the case.
Now you bring in the moxie. You bring in Tom Brady and his greatness. Maybe it's the yesterday's greatness that's going to mix with today's production and today's talent. That's where I'm driving my car. Mm-hmm. You just, as a defensive player, defensive coordinator, you're sitting in that room, coach got the red laser, we're watching video, and he's saying, this is how we're going to attack Tampa. He has nothing to say. It is quiet in that room. How do you attack Tampa?
Well, this is what I love about this show. I love about you. I love about these conversations. I'm not ignorantly going to come up here and say, oh, the Chiefs are by far and away better. It's the Kansas City. That's not what I'm going to do. That's ridiculous. Look. Understand your opponent. When you're talking about your argument, and when I'm talking about the Buccaneers offense, you got Cameron Brate, Howard, you have Rob Gronkowski at tight end. That's three legit dudes. Mm. I don't even think one of them will be on the roster just because it's too many, but that's three legit dudes at tight end.
Okay.
You got Mike Evans at the outside. You got Godwin at the outside. Okay, I'm going to play too high. I'm going to keep my safeties rolled back. Well, now you have Ronald Jones, who's a multi-versatile running back, but more importantly, you got Leonard Fournette, who is a killer. Mm. Running back. So I understand the Bucs, and I understand that they had the third-ranked offense last year. I am not simply going to sit here and try to undermine what the Bucs do and how lethal their offense is. But when I look at the Chiefs, you still have speed. And what you can't coach against, what you can't guard against is speed. Miko Hardman, Tyreek Hill, who literally go by the name Cheetah. At his ring ceremony 2 days ago, he wore a leopard or cheetah print outfit because he understands he embodies speed.
Okay.
But then most importantly, Marcellus, you have the man who threw 50 touchdown passes 2 years ago, was NFL MVP.
Brady did that a long time ago.
That's a long time ago.
Whatever.
But then you also have the Super Bowl MVP.
Brady did that a long time ago.
But most importantly, you got the head coach in Andy Reid, who to me has statistically, he's accomplished more than Bruce Arians. So it's a tough argument. It genuinely is. Mm. But if you're telling me who am I more scared of, I'm not just scared because of the threat of the Buccaneers, because that's what it is right now. Tom Brady intimidates you because of his shadow. You feel you?
I got you.
He intimidates you because when you're walking down the alley, you see that shadow.
It rings all around.
Who is behind me? All them rings. But then you turn around, you're like, oh. It's just an old man. And Patrick Mahomes, he's not a shadow. He's a legitimate threat. Now, defenses might turn around and see Tom Brady and be like, oh, it's not just an old man. It's still a bad man. Yeah. But right now, if I had to bet, if I'm saying who's more lethal, it's the Chiefs for them reasons.
Only thing is, that shadow is coming with crew.
It is.
And that crew is deep and young. Tom Brady, in his career, talking about top 10 picks, now he has two young top 10 picks, and he hasn't had that before. We're talking about, you got to go back to, 2012 when Tom Brady's had a top 10 offensive pick.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's only had five in his entire career. Now he has two, and they're in their prime. Let's talk about the running game. Balance. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers running game was dead last in NFL over the last 3 years in terms of yards per carry. 3.7. Dead last. Now they're going to have that balance, and that's what Brady brings to it as well. You said they were the third-ranked offense. That's in yards. Third ranked also in points, higher than your Chiefs and Mahomes, even though I know he had injuries. All of that said, I see Tampa Bay getting much better with a third ranked offense. And I don't see the same thing out of the Chiefs. Let's bring in our guy, LeVar Arrington, to settle the score. Who has the more lethal offense, Brady's Bucks, Mahomes, Chiefs. Split it.
I come into this conversation and say it's the Bucks. If we're just looking personnel-wise, on paper, roster-wise, which I think you guys have done a great job of covering, it is the Bucks. But I think the most interesting aspect of this conversation is not the fact that we look at what Tom Brady has, because you can never sneeze or downplay or underplay what Tom Brady brings to the table in any regard, not yet. They were pretty much undefeated last year. We could say it was his production that went down and the defense was the reason, but he has always been the common denominator in the success of the New England Patriots. I'm wondering, with all of these weapons, and when we get to real games and see how lethal this Tampa Bay offense can be, I almost feel as though all of this talent has raised the stakes to such a feverish level where Tom Brady does not get a free pass in terms of what his achievement should or could be this season. So if we come back to this discussion later on and we see that Kansas City is doing tremendously better than what Tampa Bay is doing and what Tom Brady is doing, I almost feel like the more talent that continues to go on to this Tampa Bay roster, the higher the stakes get to what Tampa Bay or what Tom Brady's legacy will be if he's not able to show that all of that talent is the reason why he came to Tampa Bay and why he left New England.
LeVar, here's my problem with your argument, and you're a reasonable person, so I'm going to prod at it. I think it's a lazy take. I think it's a lazy narrative to not just you, but I think the majority of the fans will side with you and Marcellus in saying that, oh, the Bucks have the more talented roster. But just having the more talented roster, and you better than me and Marcellus, because you were a higher level player at a more detailed position, say linebacker.
Wait, you mean in college or pro?
Linebacker, pros.
Both.
Linebacker has more.
That's my dog.
Bump all that, though. Linebacker has to know more than a defensive lineman. You should know better that it's not just about who are the pieces. It's also who's moving the pieces. So knowing that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are on the same side, can you still say that the Bucks are more lethal? Because those two are the ones that conduct the pieces.
The reason why it's not a lazy take is because it's a very practical approach to what we're thinking lethal can be. If you look at what, even with Rob Gronkowski coming back the way that he has, his production will be assumingly, you know, good, pretty good. All the other guys that are out there, did I freeze up on y'all? When you think about all of the other players and all of the components that are connected to this Tampa Bay team, I don't think it's a lazy take at all to consider that one, the NFC South is not a very difficult division to play in, for one. For two, Bruce Arians is one of those guys who understands how to deal with that amount of talent. And I think one of the major points here is you're talking about two receivers that were in the top 10, I want to say, in receiving yards total last year. I think there's only maybe one or two groups that can say that they have a receiving core that had two guys in the top 10 in terms of yardage. I just don't see it being a bad thing that they have a more lethal offense on paper than the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think that's lazy at all.
No, I don't think it's lazy at all, because right now it's all hypothetical. The game is played on grass or on turf, not in our minds. So right now we have to respect that we're going with the hypothetical. So then you start to say, well, what does your ammunition look like? And I'm looking at the ammunition of the Kansas City Chiefs, and basically I see, other than Hilaire being at it, I just see the maturity and growth of that team, but I don't know how I'm going to measure that differently than the maturity and growth I'm going to see from Tampa Bay, plus the added talent. You talk about the fact that LeSean McCoy might get cut. LeSean McCoy might not even make this roster for other reasons than just talent, but still, he's not even the top running back on this team. And you're talking about a team that was third ranked last year offensively. It'd be different if they were 27 and then they added all these guys. And you're saying, how are you going to leapfrog the fifth ranked or sixth ranked team in terms of the Kansas City Chiefs with points and yards? But they were already better than the Chiefs last year, and they've added more talent than the Chiefs.
I have issue, Marcellus.
That's not lazy.
I have issue because what you just did, I have to poke a hole in. Not even a hole. That's a gigantic gaping void in your argument. LeSean McCoy Remember where he came from, Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Biggest game of their season, the Super Bowl. In the Super Bowl, LeSean McCoy wasn't even active.
He was chilling.
He wasn't even active.
That's my point. So we're not even adding him to Tampa Bay because he ain't going to count.
Correct.
We're talking about everybody else.
My point is this. The argument y'all are making, there's a lot more guesses involved. Because y'all are saying that, okay, Tom Brady, we're going to assume that with all these weapons, we're assuming that they're going to make a bigger jump.
Gronk is an assumption.
You're assuming that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be the exact same productive team that they were last year.
That was less productive than Tampa.
But that's a much safer assumption that this team.
Why would we make that a safer assumption?
Because they're not changing any pieces.
Well, Hilaire's going to be the starting running back. That's what they want, at least. And look, he hasn't improved anything on this level. At least everyone we're adding has actually done something on this level.
That's fair.
And they already had the best wide receiving duo, despite the reputation that Kansas City has the best wide receivers. And they got a quarterback that's like, oh, that's cute, one ring. That's on one of my hands. I have five on the other one. And you're adding me around all these pieces. I talked about the top 10 picks that Brady has not been able to play with. Let me pull this up right now as I speak on my Face ID. Look at these names. Look, he has two top 10 picks finally now. Terry Glenn, J.J. Stokes, Kyle Brady, Joey Galloway, Fred Taylor, my dog, and Kellen Winslow II. Those are the only top 10 picks Brady's ever had on his team offensively. And now you give him
all of it. And it was always late.
Yeah, man.
All them stars.
It's going to be fun to watch because right now we're playing it between the ears. Let's see how it plays out on the field. Coming up at the top of the hour, Giannis a Jordan or a Pippen? Whoa, we'll settle that argument once and for all. But first, Kirk Cousins is facing backlash over his coronavirus comments. We'll tell you what we think of his stance next. Speak for Yourself is presented by Hyundai. One more. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, let's move on to the Bucks, who are in the 2-0 hole after losing to the Heat last night. As my coaches say, 0-2. Giannis Antetokounmpo. How you say his last name?
Antetokounmpo.
Nigerian.
Antetokounmpo.
Scored 29 points, but he made the costly foul on Jimmy Butler that sealed the win for Miami. MVP voting was done before teams got to the bubble. So the reigning MVP might still have a repeat locked up, but his current struggles could have some scratching their heads if it should really go to LeBron James. Joined now by LeBron's former teammate, we know he is, Fox NBA analyst Tristan Thompson. All right, Tristan.
My dog.
What you gonna say? Giannis playoff
ball. I need a little more energy when you introduce me. Jeez.
I know how this is gonna go. Talk about knowing the time without looking at your watch. Should his playoff woes prove LeBron should win the MVP?
Yes, it does. Yes, it should prove that. Yes, it does. And here's why. Listen, I understand the voting went on before the bubble, and yes, like,
thank you,
I respect Giannis's numbers. He's put up numbers that Will's put on, but at the end of the day, it's about MVP. Look what LeBron's doing in year 17, leading the league in assists. Like, that's unheard of. Like, the last guy in year 17 to put up some good numbers was, like, Kareem, when he had, what, 23 and 7 rebounds? Like, in year 17, most of us is either on the bench, clapping, being a towel boy. So for him to put up them kind of numbers, and let's look at our roster. Marcellus, you're the same one that said, if you take LeBron off that Lakers team, that team has a bunch of guys who you would say are people that nobody wants.
Marcellus
so
said
that. He's
I like Anthony Davis. Don't
Yeah, Marcellus definitely did say that, Acho. He definitely said that. No, Anthony Davis is definitely top five, everything about that. We give him his respect. Yeah. But at the end of the day, look what LeBron's doing. It's doing? When he was in the East in Cleveland, everyone said, guess what? When LeBron comes to the West, he can't do it. It's too stacked, too many good teams. He come to the West, look what he's doing. Number one team in the West. He keeps proving every time when we say he can't do it. So, listen, man, what I realized in 2020 is that, you know, not everything's guaranteed, and we don't know when our time is up. You know, of course, we lost the great in Kobe, and you know, God rest his soul. So with a guy like LeBron, man, we got to cherish this, you know, because you never know. Give this man his MVP and stop playing around.
Mm. the hell you in your feelings for so tough today? Hell no, he don't get the MVP, Tristan. You know, first of all, you know why he doesn't get the MVP. Because it's based on the regular season. And in the regular season, LeBron compared to Giannis, kind of regular. Not Giannis levels. Giannis was the MVP last year, right here, right? This year, he was even better. His team was the number one seed overall in the NBA, not just the Eastern Conference like they were last year. And he improves, but he can't win the MVP. Because why? Because Tristan, the basketball players. A lot of people tell me that basketball players are pretty cocky. I never like to buy into that hype. But hearing you right now want to manipulate the rules and having the God complex you have, how dare you follow the rules because you're Tristan Thompson, a basketball player. I have a problem with that. So let's just say this, because these are not hypotheticals. Let's give you some real facts. When Dirk lost in the first round of the playoffs, his MVP season, should they take it away from him? Should they? Oh, what about Russell Westbrook when they lost in the first round when he won MVP? Should they took it away? Oh, what about Lamar Jackson? He lost this year, divisional round, first game of the playoffs for him. Should they take it away? No, no, no. So why should they do it for Giannis right now? I'm listening to somebody.
It's not a matter, Marcellus, that they should take it away, but they should use it as an educational point to maybe we weren't in fact correct. When I think about should Giannis get the MVP or not based off his lackluster performances thus far recently in the playoffs, here's what I say, Marcellus. I'm not going to argue that the regular season MVP means that Giannis was better in the regular season, but what I will say is this. Maybe LeBron James was right. Remember when Bron said, oh, when I was in the East, running through the East, eight straight finals appearances, yeah. Y'all were like, ah, well, LeBron, you just play in the East. The East is sorry. Okay, now I'm in the West, and nobody's saying the same thing about Giannis. My take here is, Marcellus, is not that we should change Giannis from being the MVP if he were to get that because of his lackluster performances thus far, but maybe we should wake up and realize, oh, the East really isn't all this cracked up to be, because now that it's under a microscope, and now that Giannis ain't playing cupcakes, but Giannis is playing real dogs that are actually formulating scouting reports against him, we're seeing just who can elevate their team and just who can't. So I'm not saying that we should alter the MVP vote because of what occurred in the bubble, but what I am saying is we should alter our education because of what's occurred in the bubble. And our eyes have told us, wait a second, wow. LeBron truly was the best player all season. Giannis just played against lesser opponents. He runs the lesson.
Man, I want to keep the University of Texas in high esteem, but having two alums like you guys sounding the way y'all sound right now.
You sound intelligent.
Man, them entrance exams. What y'all doing? By video? By Snapchat? Like, what the hell is this?
Snapchat didn't exist back then.
What is y'all talking about? First of all, lackluster performances. Tristan Thompson, do not be a broadcaster right now. I need the baller in you. It's 29-14 lackluster.
It's not about stats, sir. It's about the moment.
Why you can't let Tristan talk?
It's not about the numbers. It's about the impact. It's about the impact.
My dog. So when LeBron gives you 10 points and then they win, you're like, oh, yeah, he should be the MVP. What the hell are y'all talking about? LeBron James in the regular season, when they went to the bubble, he went down in all of his categories. If he was going to make the MVP surge and he was going to make that argument in those 8 games, LeBron, let's go. Do Devin Booker. Do Damian Lillard. Do something, but don't go backwards because you're resting for Marcellus. The playoffs and then want us to give you the AARP MVP award because you took off the regular season in comparison to the real MVP, but now you deserve it because your team is doing
Tristan,
better.
Tristan, go ahead and get him. Throw me the oop, and I'm going to dunk it. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, let me be CP. I'm going to create that. I'm going to lob it to you like you DJ.
That's it. Okay? That's we saw right now. We see how that first went last foremost, night. We see how that, say, that played out.
We're not getting to that right now. Okay? You know, this, my prediction went wrong. Okay, but we're not getting to that. But like I was saying.
What?
No, what I was saying is that you comparing LeBron going to the bubble to Devin Booker and Damian Lillard. Like, listen, Damian Lillard and Devin Booker were going crazy. They was unstoppable. They put the numbers up. But LeBron knows what the long-term goal is. Like, why does LeBron need to come in and drop 35, 15, and 16 in a seeding game for what? When he got the number one seed after 2-3 games. What's the point of putting up all those numbers? For what, to get a Bumble MVP? Yeah, it's a great award, but the man want rings.
So you don't get the MVP
right
for the season gotta, then? That's all I'm saying. I agree
Marcellus,
with you. You don't get the MVP. He knew he was behind. If you're not going to go Devin Booker,
ladies
chill out.
No MVP and gentlemen, this is not a statistical
he knew decided before.
Class. Marcellus, you're sitting here crunching numbers like we're in calculus, and you're crunching numbers like this is pre-cal. Oh, wait, Giannis had 29, 14, and 7, and Giannis, we don't care about your Columbia education right now, okay? Put your book bag away, put your roller backpack up in your cubby, and let's use our eyes to really break down the tape.
Regular season eyes, or are we going to use these eyes today?
Use whatever eyes you want, Marcellus.
Oh, boy, stop.
If you want to use whatever eyes you want, who galvanizes a team? Who played against harder competition? Who does more? Now, it's not about what Giannis.
Galvanize?
Giannis will fill up a box score. Galvanize. You know how to spell it. G-A-L-V and some other letters. Okay? Who makes the rest of the team better? It's LeBron. I don't want to hear about
So Iguodala's the MVP of Miami and Golden State back in the day. He galvanized the team. Like, what the hell are you talking about? First of all, I'm looking at LeBron James like, look. You may not even be the MVP of your own team.
Oh.
Y'all remember when we were growing up, we used to have the banquets?
Oh, come on.
Hey,
what's
100,
going on
100.
Mute his mic.
What?
Somebody please mute his mic.
Look, Mr. All-State linebacker here should know this. How many times have you gotten awards from publications and accolades externally, and then you show up at your own award banquet, and they like, the other guy actually is the co-MVP or most outstanding player. They used to do stuff like that. My point is, Anthony Davis came to this roster, and this is a real argument. Last year, they didn't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. LeBron was there. I know he got hurt, but he was there. This year, they add Anthony Davis, and they're the number one seed. But yet and still, we're going to give all the credit to LeBron and not to Anthony Davis, one, splitting that vote, but more importantly, to Giannis, who's on the East,
Tristan, please.
Improving Tristan. On the MVP performance from last year.
Tristan,
please help this boy.
No, I don't need no help. You need help, Marcellus.
Wait. So you're, first of all, you know before LeBron got hurt, you know what seed they were in.
What seed were they, Tristan? Say it with your chest, too.
Yeah, yeah.
What Carson seed? Like three or four. Like four or three, right?
Carson Wentz want to hear this
fourth.
One.
They're fourth. They're four.
Mm-hmm.
So
four.
Don't act like they were in the eighth seed.
I did.
All the way
you
up.
Said
four.
You felt it. I didn't say it.
It's four. Yes, they had Anthony Davis for sure. But listen, we know you had Anthony Davis, top five player. But come on now. Nothing. That ship do not go unless LeBron James is the captain of that ship. Come on now.
Where'd it
let's
go
stop.
Last
let's be
year?
Realistic right now.
But
let's
you just
where'd
we
go last year?
With LeBron, they was what? Third, fourth seed. Without LeBron, they didn't make the playoff. Didn't make the playoffs. So that tells you
LeBron
James.
I have nothing else to say. You guys already changed the actual rules that says regular season. You guys don't even want to have that argument. You want to have the argument that you like, which helps your case, which is LeBron's looking better in the playoffs than Giannis. And then undermine Giannis and call him lackluster with a 29-14 effort.
Marcellus, you have
no,
said
no,
it.
No, I didn't say that.
Acho did.
No, listen, to the great Shaquille O'Neal and regurgitate the words of one of the best players this game has ever seen. And like Tristan said, what Shaq had said earlier, it's not just about filling up a box score, Marcellus. In the playoffs, in the big time moments, you played in several big moments, Tristan. You have won in several big moments, like Tristan alluded to. Mm. It's not just about filling up a box score, bruh. Great, 29-14 and an L. Because at the end of that box score, at the beginning of the box score, it's preceded by an L.
Yeah, so kids at home, if you don't score any points, any rebounds, any assists, but you win, hey, MVP performance from you. Cam Newton's comeback took a step back like y'all arguments just did.
Not at all.
We'll tell you if the form.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
MVP can overcome losing an offensive weapon. Next, speak for yourself, presented by Hyundai.
I reject the Columbia. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's head to New England, who released veteran receiver Mohamed Sanu nearly a year after trading a second-round pick for him. Sanu said he spoke to Bill Belichick and came away thinking the decision was financial. Also announced today in a little breaking news, Bill Belichick told the team that Cam Newton has won the starting quarterback job. There's a lot to unpack here. But there's a lot of people to clown here. So, LeVar.
One in particular.
It's time for you to speak, sir. Marcellus said it first that Cam was going to be the starter. I wised up. But you, sir, explain yourself.
Stubborn.
What's your reaction to Cam being named the starter?
Stubborn.
Well, I'm happy that he's won the job. I mean, what are you guys looking for?
What?
Listen, I said first things first. You have to win the job. You have got to win the job.
I've got a suit on, and now you're getting corporate as hell. Where is my money in my bottle? You bet me a bottle.
I got you. After you pay me the one that you owe me.
Okay, we even
here's
then.
The deal. All right. Here is the deal, guys.
Now we're supposed to listen to you?
Here's the situation that we have here.
What?
You have to follow the bottom line of what's taking place in New England right now. You have a very, very underpaid quarterback that's going to be your starter. You have just got rid of one of your top weapons based off of financial whatever it is that they want to make it into to justify. But you get rid of Sanu because you got to pay him too much money. All right. So I don't think it's good. The team is good enough for Cam to overcome it. And in fact, with Stidham not still being the quarterback, starting quarterback of this team, I question what is the Patriot way moving forward. And if Cam isn't good enough to look good as a New England Patriot, then I'm going to further question Bill Belichick's movement.
Why you sound so mad that Cam got the starting job, yeah, Brother LeVar? You okay? Mad. Brother LeVar?
I'm not mad. No, I'm not mad.
Go ahead, Marcellus. I thought you were going. Oh, it's me? All right, let me go. Look. Hey, people that know I'm not cocky. Like, I don't exude, like, a cockiness. But if you knew me like I know
I'm
me,
I'm not a groupie, I do like players, cocky. You know.
I'm so cocky right. Between my ears. You know why? Because I knew I was going to be right on this one, Big Dog. Right. Goodness, this was a layup. And I can't even play basketball, but I knew how to make this shot. Here's the thing. Can Cam Newton overcome his lack of weapons by name? That's what's happening right now. A lot of people like Acho, they go into a store and, you know, the stylist is sitting
what
there.
What I do, Mark?
And the stylist is sitting there saying, oh, you need to try this and try this. And Acho's like, nah, I just need Jordache. I need Vidal, whatever the hell. He just need whatever he heard of. And that's who he's going to ride with. That's why he lost the Chiefs argument earlier in the show. You can't always look at players based on name, reputation. Not always. You know why? Because New England, especially in New England, the football factory that exists in Foxborough, they have a way of finding some game, even if you didn't know their name. The list is long. James White, Wes Welker, Danny Woodhead, Deion Branch, Super Bowl MVP. Where'd that come from? Edelman was a quarterback and still out there tilting. Now let's look at Cam Newton. Has he ever squeezed extra toothpaste out the tube when you thought it was none left? Oh, he actually has. When we go back to when he was an MVP, when he was there with Greg Olsen, only player with over 1,000 yards receiving that season. Ted Ginn's his next, and no other player over 500 receiving yards. Like, that wasn't a loaded roster, but Cam Newton put that roster on his back and said, mount up. And I think that's a situation that is going to present itself to Cam this year. That's the only way this is going to work, that Cam buys into the Patriot way, seems like he has, one of three offensive team captains, and then he says, guys, I understand people are not respecting you fully, but jump on the Cam Newton back. Let's ride this all the way through. Make some names out of these guys.
I'm going to be honest, man. Bill Belichick, he hit us with the old okey-doke, right, calling Cam Newton a kid. Saying that Cam, you know, still needs to show some things and prove some things. And then he names him the starter with 7 to 8, 9 days before the season starts. I respect it, Bill. Problem is, Cam is still in a boatload of trouble. Marcellus, you said it. LeVar, you said it. Players win games. And the Patriots right now, they shipping their players off as if they don't need them. Mohamed Sanu, y'all just traded a second-round pick last year for Mohamed Sanu. He gone. Players for the Patriots defensively, that number one scoring defense the Patriots had last year, Patrick Chung, starting safety, opted out. Hightower, starting linebacker, opted out. Cam Newton can't throw the ball to himself. He can't run the ball exclusively himself. And Marcellus, if you want to go back to 2015, when Cam Newton was a great Cam Newton. Remember, he rushed the ball 10 times for touchdowns. That's not the same Cam. Cam's not going to be sitting here barreling over people. This is a 31-year-old, a little bit wiser, a little bit probably slower, and a little bit more sutured up and taped together Cam Newton. So while I'm happy that Cam is a starter, I'm a huge Cam fan, and I'm glad he's also named captain, I just heard. I am still fearful that he won't be able to accomplish what we all want him to because the Patriots haven't given him enough help.
You know what this debate makes me think about? our earlier debate with Tom Brady and who, you know, who has the most lethal weapons on offense. And then I started saying that he does not have a whole lot of runway to have a poor season because of all of the talent that he has. Well, here's the reverse. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. And when you look at Bill Belichick, now Bill Belichick doesn't have runway either to have a bad season. Why? Because, hey, it's the Patriot way to do what we've done. It's the Patriot way to handle things this way. So you know what? Now that Cam has been anointed the starting quarterback of the Patriot way team, and while we see the departure of players that can make a difference for this team, if Bill Belichick wins, like you're saying, Marcellus, not only will I accept the fact that I eat crow on this decision, on thinking that Stidham would be the starter because of a previous plan, and that's why they let Tom Brady go, but I might actually get a crow and deep fry that bad boy and eat it if they go to the playoffs or even make it to the Super Bowl or by chance win the Super Bowl. I will never question Bill Belichick ever again in life.
Damn. 11 Super Bowl appearances. What do you have? 8 rings, and you still he's still in a conversation of being questioned.
And how many of those with Tom Brady as 6. A head coach?
6.
As a head coach?
Yeah, 6. And then he got 6. 2 as a defensive coordinator.
I know the D coordinator stuff.
Respect. I know you know your stuff, but I'm just like, Belichick's still getting questioned? Like, he's still on the stand? Like, I have one more question, Your Honor. Belichick need to leave the courtroom. Like, question these other coaches.
We're questioning Tom Brady.
I respect your opinion, Kirk Cousins. Respect my... Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
Isn't it amazing what's going on right now? Acho up here lying. Acho up here saying that Cam Newton... What do you say? Duct tape is the only thing that's going to bring them together? 2015, since you want to take me there, but only take me where you want me to go, driving that car once again to the wrong destination. 2015, Cam Newton was the MVP. 4.8 yards per rush. Last time we saw Cam Newton healthy was 2018, before the injury. I wonder what Cam Newton was doing when he was healthy in 2018. 4.8 yards per rush.
Before the last two injuries? Okay, go ahead.
So if Cam Newton is healthy, nothing is there to tell me he's 31, that he can't go back to that level, which really supported his game. And then remember, when he got his new offensive coordinator, Cam can't complete over 60% of his balls, barely over 60%. 68% before injury, MVP candidate. So what's going to happen now is Cam is fully motivated to be super Cam. And he's going to go to a place where they're absent their GOAT in Tom Brady. And their mindset is going to go from a dynasty to we against the world. What could be better for Belichick to motivate a crew that is saying, yeah, we had tremendous success, unparalleled success, but now it's us against the world, guys. What you going to do? And Cam going to swoop in with the cape and say, jump on my back, and I got you guys. Let's fly away.
Joe, he took you to fantasy world, babe.
He did. He did it, but I'm a...
Because he says you do it all the time. Go get him for driving you to fantasy land.
I'm going
to
bring him, along with the Patriots fans, back to reality. Here's what it comes down to. Patriots fans, you all know better than anyone else that players win games. Let's talk Super Bowl 53. Y'all remember when Gronkowski makes that catch? It's tied 3-3. It's the fourth quarter. He makes the catch. Patriots go on to win that game. Oh, when they needed him the most. Yeah, you can see it right there. Okay, but let's also talk Super Bowl 51 against the Falcons. You got to make a miraculous comeback. You're down. It's 2 minutes left. You need a player to make a play. And Julian Edelman with his fingertips. Oh, my God, I need it. And he makes a play.
It's your boy.
But we can go even further back. Let's talk Super Bowl 49. Now, I can't really read Roman numerals, but I think that's it. Malcolm Butler, you need him to make a play. And he makes a play. So Bill Belichick is the GOAT. Bill Belichick is a genius, but Bill Belichick does not cross the white lines, the 53 and a third yards of the field, that is the width. He can't do that. Cam Newton by himself can't do it. You need players to make plays, and the Patriots don't have enough of those. Coming up in our big story, is Giannis a Jordan or Giannis a Pippen? We gonna settle that great debate. Next, Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Where the Bucks were shocked again by the Heat to find themselves down 2-0. Walker entered the bubble with the league's best record and the reigning MVP, Giannis. What's his last name?
Antetokounmpo.
Say it again.
Antetokounmpo, Nigerian style.
Yes, but they haven't been able to get it done. Giannis is now 21-20 in his playoff career. Former NBA player Richard Jefferson called the Greek freak out, tweeting an image of Scottie Pippen with this quote, "Giannis might be a Pippen." There, I said it. He needs his Jordan. Well, Scottie responded, tweeting, quote, here's his flame. I'm not Giannis. I don't have back-to-back league MVPs. He will in a matter of days, and he's not me. The question is, who are you as a player? Oh, my God. So is Giannis more Jordan? First of all, let's deal with that smoke. Scottie on the smoke.
See?
Damn.
Well, let me say this, Marcellus. We act like being a Scottie Pippen is an insult.
Say it again.
Scottie Pippen, top 50 player all time in the NBA.
And not 50.
5,000 players have played in the NBA. So if I'm doing my math right, carry to 2. He's in the top 1% of greatest players of all time. But out of 100, he probably going to be number 1 if you were to pick arbitrarily. So it's not an insult. Now, with that being said, I think RJ is making the point of Giannis isn't a killer right now on the court in the clutch. And with that, I agree with him. He is therefore more Pippen than Jordan if we put it in that context. In the context of Jordan, who wanted the ball latest in games? Who was going to be greatest latest in games? Who can single-handedly dominate latest in the games? Think of Giannis. Right now, Giannis can't create his own shot off the dribble. Giannis is not a threat from three. Giannis has to take what he wants instead of what the defense gives him. When you think about a Jordan, you think about a dude who he's going to get what he wants. He's going to get to his spots. But also, I'm going to take what you give me, and I'm going to still make you pay. Giannis isn't clutch. Jordan, however, was that clutch dude. Giannis, fourth quarter, 2019 playoffs. Not my opinion. These are simply stats. Do not shoot the messenger.
How about the
16% from three-point, Marcellus. 41 from the stripe. You know them throws that are free?
Yeah.
He's shooting 41%. So I understand where everybody is going with this right now because it is a trending matter. Giannis does have a little more pip into his game, which, by the way, is not an insult. It is just a little bit of a factual matter. Two-time NBA MVP, defensive player of the year, about to be two-time NBA MVP, defensive player of the year, plus MVP. I think we've only seen that with, what, Jordan and Elijah one, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not as if Giannis hasn't accomplished some great things, but within this context of champions doing championship-type things in championship-type of moments, Giannis hasn't shown himself to be that alpha.
Okay, I'm glad you first started off and prefaced everything.
Pippen the dog.
Pippen his props, bro. Why is there an attachment, a stigma to Pippen's name?
As if it's negative.
Like it's negative. Even when they say Robin in a situation, I'm like, okay, y'all, be careful.
You're still a superhero.
Be careful, because Jordan never won without that Pippen. Whatever you want to say about Jordan being a dog, and he was clutch. Didn't have enough of that gas pedal without Scottie Pippen fully maturing that team. That said, I think what's happening is people are not really understanding what they're saying. What they're saying is this team has the number one record in the East 2 years
two
in a row.
Years in a
best
row.
Team in the NBA in terms of record this year. And what's going on? What's going on is what they really need is another player that is somewhere between Chris Middleton and Michael Jordan. Now we get into a different conversation, because this is all falling on the shoulders of Giannis, when Giannis could easily fire back at everyone, including Michael Jordan. So first, let me get to this. Giannis is what? 25 years young. Michael Jordan didn't win his first championship till he was 28 years old. Okay, everybody goes to talk about college and all that. I don't want to get into that, because let's talk about playoff appearances. Giannis in his fifth playoff appearance. Michael Jordan to get his to his seventh playoff appearance. So if you want to just measure track and field, my favorite sport, you can go age, youth, group by age, youth group. What were you as a 9-year-old? What were you at 11-year-old? What was your time as a 15-year-old? That lets us know your opportunity for growth. And if you look at Giannis, this is where his opportunity for growth is. I've seen this before. He is almost maxed out in the talent lane.
Okay.
He's ran that lane all the way through. And now his skill and his skill set needs to catch
I need
up.
An answer, though, Marcellus, because you bobbing and weaving like Ali in his prime. Is he more Jordan or Pitt?
More Jordan. It's not even close. Matter of fact, more Jordan. He might be better than Jordan at the same stage, but he doesn't have the skill set right now to make us think that he's going to advance there. And that skill set is the curse of the gifted. talent, and he's maxed that out. That's why he's still the Greek Freak. He's going to win back-to-back MVPs. It's time for him to go to one of those skill academies and get that part of his game up. Joined now by Fox NBA analyst Chris Broussard.
CB.
So, Chris, we need you to settle this. Is Giannis more Jordan or Pippen?
Well, you went a little hard on MJ on the GOAT, Marcellus.
I'm just giving you numbers.
The difference was, even though Mike was losing early, he never got taken out of his game. He always crushed guys. We've seen Giannis getting taken out of his game. But to answer your question, if I have to choose between Jordan and Pippen, he's more Scottie Pippen.
Mm.
Now, it's not a perfect comparison, though. And here's where the comparison falls short. Pippen was never the best player on a championship team. Giannis will essentially always be the best player on his team. I believe firmly he can be the best player on a championship team. I'm going to throw another name into the comparisons. And I know he doesn't want to be bothered because I saw his tweet. LeBron. And LeBron obviously had more offensive skill than Giannis at this stage. But they're similar in that LeBron has always been the best player on his team. But he also needed that second guy to be a dog. That second guy to be a cold-blooded assassin who could get his own shot whenever he wanted. So if LeBron couldn't get his, Kyrie could get his. If LeBron couldn't get his, D-Wade could get his. Those are the only times LeBron won a championship, when he had a dog as his second guy. So Giannis will always be the best player on his team. But he does need a second guy like a Kyrie, like a Dwayne Wade, who can go and get it when Giannis can't get his. So he's more like LeBron.
And that's my point. That was my other point. I didn't want to shoot at Jordan, but look, everybody gets this smoke if it's just based on the numbers. Now, we understand that his greatness takes him beyond his numbers, and I get that. But stage by stage, 25-year-old versus 25-year-old, let's not do that. Here's the thing, which you pointed out, and I love the fact that you highlighted this. That's why I said he may need a little more than a Chris Middleton. And this is not a shot at Chris Middleton, but it's just a shot at, this is how you got to get it done if you're going to do it. LeBron James, like you said, Dwayne Wade, Kyrie Irving. That's who he rolled with to get his three championships. Michael Jordan rolled with Scottie Pippen. Giannis is trying to roll with Chris Middleton. And if it doesn't work, then we're going to look at Giannis and put him under the pressure cooker when maybe it's the alternative. It's the other person. Look at LeBron in L.A. LeBron came out here last year, didn't have Anthony Davis, and how that turn out? Injury or not, how that turn out? So now he brings in an Anthony Davis, which is more than a Chris Middleton. My point is, we need to get off of Giannis right now. The only thing about him he needs to improve on is his skills, his go-to moves, his go-to shot. And that is something that you actually can't increase easier than you can your talent.
I gotta contend with both you and CB. CB, though, I agree with your overarching point. But Marcellus, Giannis, what we're sleeping on isn't the tangibles. He is an alpha physically. But Giannis mentally has shown a little bit of wear to me. Remember, at any level, CB, you notice, Marcellus, you notice, Pee-wee, middle school, upper school, college, NFL, NBA. If somebody is hot, you say, bump that, I'ma check him. When Giannis didn't check Jimmy Butler to me game one, when Jimmy Butler was giving buckets, I was like, this don't make sense. Okay, fast forward, game two. Jimmy Butler, rock with me. Jimmy Butler, after the post game, they say, okay, Jimmy Butler, what would happen if you would have missed them two free throws? He said, we would have won in overtime. I'm not getting that same type of alpha mentality energy from Giannis. We talk about Jordan, we talk about Pip. Jordan was an alpha physically, but what was Jordan also an alpha mentally? It's still an indictment on me, Marcellus, you're the defensive player of the year and you're not finna go check the dude that's single-handedly beating you down. That, to me, was worrisome.
Wow, aren't you from Dallas?
Facts.
And weren't you a Mavs fan before you got caught up in broadcasting
all day.
And started,
still am.
You know, acting like
still
you like the Lakers and all these other big popular teams?
Michael Finley was always good. My GOAT.
Wasn't this the same thing we heard about Dirk forever?
But Dirk was not a defensive MVP, sir.
Dirk is
heavy-footed.
No one got the vibes. And then all of a sudden, he showed up in that moment. And that's the thing. Like, Giannis, this whole vibe conversation, you don't need to give the vibes. And guard Jimmy Butler may not be long-term what they needed to do. It was one game, Jimmy had 40. What did he do last night? Exactly. So the point of it is, I'm not going to get into a vibe conversation. I'm going to get into a
mentality conversation.
Well, his mentality is...
I'm getting into a mentality of a killer.
great enough that he's had two regular seasons back
regular
to back
seasons.
Better.
Regular seasons.
Regular seasons, right. And he's growing, and Jordan at this same stage wasn't even at this phase. So what you going to say there?
TB, can you get this?
Look, to Marcellus's point, we've heard the same things about Dirk, and Dirk was the best player on that championship team, but who was hitting a lot of those big shots? Jason Terry. He had that second guy that was a dog. That's my overarching point. And here's the thing, Acho. Remember, that LeBron, we saw LeBron have mental challenges against Boston in 2010, against Dallas in 2011, and then he developed or it brought out the alpha that had always been in him. So you can bring it out. So I think you didn't want Giannis to just say, let me take Jimmy Butler, because Jimmy Butler is not really that type of guy. And they
but
got
he was,
guys.
CB. Like he might not be that type of guy, like in perpetuity, but in that acute moment, at that acute time, game one is 104-98. You're within reach. You just missed two free throws because it would have been 104-100 if I'm not mistaken. At that time, in that moment, that guy has to D him up. Like, I don't know. You know better than I. You've been around longer. You cover the sport. But based on what we've known about Jordan, whether you read it, you was there, you watched it, he would have been like, you know what? Let me check him. And we didn't get
and
that
lose
energy.
That series like he did all of them in the beginning. Like that's what he would have done. So get out of here, man. Come on. Coming up, James Harden's next obstacle is LeBron's Lakers. We'll tell you if his Rockets really have a shot against the Kings. Next.
Time now for a rewarding performance sponsored by Capital One. What's in your wallet? Well, James Harden, he rewarded Houston with not an offense, but huge defensive effort to close out Game 7 against the Thunder last night. Harden's block shot means the Rockets will now move on to the second round and a date with LeBron's Lakers. Whoa. Houston won 2 out of 3 in the regular season matchup.
2 of 3.
Be an underdog in the bubble. Chill out, Marcellus.
2 of 3?
LeBron's
majority.
LeBron said with Harden and Russell Westbrook, it quote, start with the two-headed monster. Joined once again by CB. CB, I'm going to you first. Are you giving the Rockets any chance against them Lakers?
No. None. I got the Lakers in 5. Now, I hope I'm wrong, because I want to see a really dramatic, exciting series. And I think the Rockets can make the games fun to watch and exciting, but can they beat the Lakers in 7 games? No. And I think their size is going to be a problem. We know they play small, obviously. The Lakers have huge size. And the Lakers showed me something against Portland. They showed me that they can guard the perimeter a lot better than they did early on in the bubble. And if they can guard McCollum and Damian Lillard, then they can make it tough on Harden and the rest of those guys. Harden's going to get his, don't get me wrong. But the Lakers can deal with their perimeter game. So I just think the Lakers have too much for them. They're obviously well-rested. Now Portland has gotten their attention. So they're going to be ready to come out and put the foot on Houston's throat. Another thing I don't like, guys, I know James Harden. I give him props for not hanging his head and stepping up with that huge block shot. But it was yet another game, a critical playoff game, where James Harden turned in a clunker.
Say it twice.
A clunker. Too much. He didn't want the 3-point ball. Mm-mm. He didn't look. The only time I saw him look like that James Harden swag was after he blocked the shot when he stared out into the crowd or the blackness of the night or whatever was in there. He was looking at. All right, but otherwise, he was getting rid of the ball quickly. He wasn't dancing at the 3-point line trying to get that step back. He didn't look like he wanted that moment, and that's what concerns me if this does go to a tough 6 or 7 game.
Look, I'm not betting a house on it, but I'm certainly going to spend some of my spare change on the Rockets got a good chance, and it could be a great chance based on how they play the Lakers. One, they've already beat them 2 out of 3, and one of those games was against what a lineup that no one was over 6'6", and we all know they're going to lose the rebounding battle. But they shoot the 3, which means long rebounds, which gives them a chance and an edge. But also, the backcourt defenders for the Lakers. So what they're going to do is force a lineup the Lakers don't like. At least Anthony Davis does it, because they're going to put Anthony Davis at center. LeBron got to be out there, right? And they're going to have three guards. What's three guards? That's going to get ate up, because Westbrook averages 38 points a game against the Lakers, and James Harden will return to form. So this is how you beat the Lakers with this small ball lineup.
You don't.
Take it as a big man. Nobody likes chasing around them little rabbits all day long. And if you look at this situation now, Anthony Davis, LeBron, and three guards out there, what's going to happen if they hit their three-pointers? I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're 22-3 when they go out there and shoot the three ball and hit 18 or more. They did that against the Lakers twice. So if they can hit their three ball, woo, the Lakers already know what that feels like. They lost to them a couple times. That's the only chance.
The difference is this, Marcel. Here's what I learned, CB. You got to watch Marcellus. That's what I learned sitting next to this dude. He'll give you stats, but he won't add the context.
No.
Okay,
that's your fault.
LeBron ain't playing one of them three games. AD ain't playing the other of the three games. And the other of the three games, that was the first time playing small ball. I think Frank Vogel has learned. The first time the Lakers played the small ball lineup, Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, the other two bigs, they only combined for 20 minutes. Yeah, they were sitting there trying to chase them little kids around. But what do they always say? Big people beat up little people. I made the same mistake you're making, Marcellus, so I understand how you can make it. I once did the same thing. Who's going to guard Dame, I said. Who's going to guard CJ, I said.
Not the same.
Who going to guard Bron and who going to guard AD?
Not the same.
That is the issue at hand. You think about it. What do they say? The best defense is a good offense. If the Lakers try to play, oh, how are we going to guard all these little people? That's the mistake they made on January 18th, the first time they saw the Rockets. This time around, the Lakers going to be like, wait a second. What y'all going to do about our bigs? What y'all going to do about our size? The Rockets will have no answer. But beyond that, Russell Westbrook, two games ago, MIA. Last game showed up. James Harden, last game, MIA. It's not as if those two dudes are even hitting their full stride. So what it comes down to is Rockets might take a game. I have them taking game two. But past that, they ain't going to make it.
Best defense in the bubble. Noise. Best defense in the bubble. Celtics and Rockets.
You don't even believe
just
that.
Letting you know.
You don't even believe that.
I don't.
Right. Coming up, we'll ask KC's number one fan, Uncle Jimmy, which offense is more lethal, Mahomes' Chiefs or Brady's Bucks? That's next. Speak for yourself.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Let's talk about the Bucks, who added Leonard Fournette and all those muscles to their offense. Acho and I were split on Tom Brady's squad against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Joined now by the number one fan from the Chiefs army. Look at Uncle Jimmy. So who has the more lethal offense, Brady's Bucks or Mahomes' Chiefs?
All right, man. First of all, y'all do understand that we are in the middle of a pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so would y'all do me the favor and stop acting like we going through a damn zombie apocalypse, okay? Mm-hmm. And stop with all these dumbass questions, okay? What y'all going to ask me tomorrow? What y'all going to say tomorrow? Should Ocho start hanging out with you and LeVar Arrington and possibly risking eternal hell? Or should he just go off into the sunset and go off with me, Oprah and Gail? You see what I'm saying?
And Stedman.
Look here, man. Have you seen this video going around on YouTube about What's Tom up? Brady? It said Tom Brady is 178 years old. Mm. You know what that means?
What I mean.
That means that in order for Tom Brady to catch Patrick Mahomes, he would have to jump out of a dark alley, bite him in the neck, and turn him into a zombie just like him. And you know what? Tom Brady can't run. So guess what? He's never going to catch Patrick Mahomes. So guess what? Like what? I said, it's a dumbass question. I've heard of Shark Week. What the hell are y'all turning this section into? Dumbass question week? Come on, man. Do something for me, man. I'm better than this.
Boy, Brady going to start with the rings. He got five on one hand and one on the other. Mahomes only got that one. So what apocalypse are we living in?